Blog Talk Radio.
Why is Ujamaa the only way forward for the planet? That's tonight's discussion. We'll be right back. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were based in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. If you'd like to join the conversation tonight, please call 929-477-2789. Press the 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.uslistingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will then be on the Blog Talk Radio website. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the follow button. I am Sister Q, and joining me tonight for this evening's conversation is Brother Anki, who, like me, is a member of UBLE. Peace, Brother Anki. How are you this evening?
Greetings, Sister Q. I am well. Good to hear you and good to be on Dare to Win tonight.
Yes, we're looking forward to tonight's conversation. So let's get started. Brother Anki, let us begin by defining Ujamaa. How do you define Ujamaa?
Thank you, Sister Q. We in Ulu define Ujamaa as family-centered, group-owned economics. We are expanding the definition given to us by Dr. Malana Karenga in Kwanzaa, which is to own our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. The important difference that Ulu is adding is that each shop or business is group-owned by the community and the workers in that business. We build these businesses by pooling our dollars. And in many, if not most, communities, most of the businesses are privately owned. And we have all seen what happens to Shopping Plaza when the primary business pulls out because the owners feel it's not making enough profit, or say a mall when the anchor stores relocate to more affluent neighborhoods, resulting in job loss in those communities and shuttered businesses that become eyesores in those communities. What we in Ulu are doing, Sister Q, as I'm sure you're aware, is that we are bringing the idea of African communalism into the 21st century. So when we say family-centered, think in terms of our extended family systems, where these relationships of kinship bind this community together, and we use our gifts and our abilities and our talents to create a quality of life for ourselves and for our children. And we own the businesses, the stores, the factories, the studios, all of the institutions that allow us to acquire the material needs of life are owned by the family, owned by the group. That's the kind of economics that we are advocating for in Us Lifting Us. Our vision is for a network of group-owned businesses in every black neighborhood, supplying all of our needs, from groceries to clothes to beauty supplies to appliances to dry cleaners and florists and much, much more. And it's important that we're trying to communicate tonight that we are building not only a global interlocking network of group-owned businesses, but just as importantly, an entire economy. And that's the point that we have to hear. We recognize that the current economy, the economic system that we live in right now, capitalism, is disintegrating at an increasing rate. And if we don't build our own economic institutions, when these formerly capitalistic businesses collapse, our community is going to be left without the resources that we need. So we're building a network of group-owned businesses into an economy, and that's our way of building towards a higher civilization for ourselves and for our people and for our children. Now I've said a lot, and I'm hoping everyone is following along with what I'm saying. The task that we see in front of us in Ulu is we look around our community and we recognize our lack of power. We recognize that there are other communities and other forces that are making decisions that impact us, and we're not able to respond in ways that help us to thrive. And we recognize that either we take hold of the economics of our community or forever be at the mercy of the people who are running those businesses. So, yes, we have to build our own businesses, our own economic institutions. And we recognize that as we group these, as we network these businesses together, that really creates an entire economy for us. And we're using as a definition for economy that system of providing goods and services to a people, to a community, to a nation. That's all an economy is. It's a system that supplies the material needs, goods, and services to a people. So our goal is to build an economy. And the economy then becomes the basis for an advanced civilization. You started to ask me something, Sister Q?
No, not yet. I was I'm just listening to what you're saying, and it's logical. You know.
Okay. The reason that I say that Ujamaa is the only way forward is because of this next statement that I'm going to make. This new global cooperative economy is based on the principles of Ma'at and the Nguza Saba and allows the human family to finally move off fossil fuels and begin to build a sustainable economy and world. When I say that Ujamaa is based on Ma'at and the Nguza Saba, many on the call will recognize that Ma'at is the ancient Egyptian principle of truth, justice, righteousness, order, balance, harmony, and reciprocity. Those were the values that undergirded the advanced civilizations of ancient Egypt and ancient Africa. Most of us are aware of the fact that the Nguza Saba are the seven principles of Kwanzaa, notably Umoja, unity, Kujichagulia, self-determination, Ujima, collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, Nia, purpose, Kuumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. Anyone living in today's world recognizes right off the bat that none of those values are operating in the spaces where we live. No truth, no unity, no collective work and responsibility, no purpose other than to make as much money as you can, and then spend it on everything that glitters, even though it's not gold, as our elders would tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Selfishness, hypersexuality, all of that kind of madness that is driving the human family to the brink of extinction. And so the problems that we're looking at facing us today are because of these European and Eurocentric values. Because they are irrational and they are illogical, they have run their course and they have brought the world to the brink of disaster. So when we talk about building a new economy and a new civilization, the question we have to ask ourselves, well, what's going to make it different? Why will the community, the economy that we build, be any different from the economy that has been in America for the last 500 years? And the difference is the difference between those two sets of values. Our values are based on truth, righteousness, justice, order, balance, harmony, reciprocity. American capitalism and European capitalism is based on, first of all, materialism, hyper-individualism, irrational competition, violence, domination over the planet and women and everything on it, and extreme violence because they have to have their way. So when you put all that together, you have a world that is in constant war, 3.5 billion people living below the poverty level, while the 1% are moving towards becoming trillionaires. And so in those weird and crazy contradictions, we have to step back and say to ourselves, wait a minute, Is this the kind of world we want to live in? Is this the kind of world we want to pass on to our children? And if the answer is no, then we have the opportunity, as this system collapses, to put together an alternative that we know will work for ourselves and for our children and for the rest of the planet.
Okay, so go ahead. Finish your thought. No, go ahead and finish your thought. I'm coming with a question after you finish.
So to sum up, that is why. Now, we in ULU, obviously, us lifting us, we are a cooperative. And uh-huh. We're saying that we're living in a historical moment when the world is being asked to choose between, do we want a capitalist economy or do we want a cooperative economy? I think most of us would agree that we need cooperation, that we need a cooperative economic framework if we're going to survive. And for us, Ujamaa is a particular kind of cooperative structure. And it's a cooperative structure based on African values. That's why we say that Ujamaa is the only way forward for the planet. It not only will protect us and preserve us, but it will preserve life on the planet and allow the entire human family to have a much better future than what we're looking at right now. So I'll pause there and let you respond to that or ask questions, or maybe there's some questions from the audience.
Okay. I'm looking for questions from the audience right now. We don't have any. So I'm going to say, Brother Ankhi, you know, the statements that you're making, you're stepping on some toes, because you are saying that there's only one right way forward for the planet, and that the one right way is Ujamaa. What is it that gives you the confidence to make such a bold claim?
Well, okay. First of all, let's see if we can agree that the present condition is not working for any of us, or very, it's not working for the majority of us. Let's put it like that. The news is bombarding us with all kinds of information around COVID and how this is spreading. We're being hit with, you know, first there's the Delta variant, now there's the Omicron variant. They're talking about how are we going to end the filibuster so the Build Back Better opportunity can come forward, and this is all that's on the news, and people are just, you know, they're on the verge of pulling their hair out because none of it is making much sense.
Absolutely.
All they know is that they want to get back to the way things used to be. They want to get back to quote unquote normal. And unfortunately, the truth of the matter is we're not going back to normal. We in ULU have been saying for years we are in an environment that is slowly crumbling before our very eyes. And it would be a lot easier to acknowledge that, but we've been kind of reluctant to do that. It's like we've got our head in the sand. If we don't look at it, maybe it'll go away. But every time we pull our head out of the sand and look up, it's worse than it was before we put our head in the sand to begin with. The reason I say Ujamaa is the only way forward is because we have two choices. We can either continue with a competitive economics and a privately owned economics, or we can begin to move to a cooperative economics that is publicly owned. What we in ULU are saying is that the only way the human family is going to survive is we have to move to a platform of cooperation, and we have to move to a platform that is owned collectively by the people who are here on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find a way to put ourselves in conversation with each other, to do an analysis of what is the problem, and then use our best minds to come up with solutions that may work to take us to a better place. If we look at what's been happening globally around the world for the last 50 years, a handful of people are making decisions for the entire population of 7 billion folks. And it's not working because the decisions that they're making are based on how can they make the most money. They don't care who's dying. They don't care who's suffering. And the people who are suffering and catching hell in all of this don't have any voice to push decisions in a different way. So those are the two choices. We can continue with privately owned competitive economics, or we can move to a cooperative economic platform that is publicly owned or owned by large groups in the population that allows more voices to come to the conversation and to have a say-so in the decision-making. That's called democracy. But So I don't want to come off sounding like us lifting us is the only solution for the planet. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that we have a moment in history to move from private ownership of the economy, private ownership of the means of production, to public ownership of the means of production and a cooperative economy. Now, those are the two choices staring at us. It's not Democrat or Republican. It's not white or black. It's not gay or straight. It's whether the economy is going to continue to be privately owned and competitive, or is it going to be public owned and cooperative? Now, those are the choices. And we in ULU have been advocating since we came into existence in 2013 that the only thing that makes sense for African-descended people is a cooperative, group-owned economic model. And we have put together a primary cooperative as a vehicle for people who agree with us to begin building this global economic model. And if there's another group out there that has a better model, show it to us. We'll work with that. But we have taken the time and the work to build, at least to lay the foundation of a primary cooperative that then can open up more cooperatives to the point that we no longer have to depend upon these private capitalist structures that are failing us and actually destroying the planet.
Okay. Brother Amti, I'm going to invite people to join the conversation. If you want to join the conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone to make a comment or to ask a question. We do have a couple of hands up, so I'm going to open the lines for these calls. Brother. Okay.
Let's
do. Caller with the last 4 digits, 5080, please. State your name, where you're calling from, and ask your question or make your comment. Thank you.
Yeah, greetings, Sister Q and Aunty. This is Akima, and
peace,
of course,
brother.
I'm enjoying the conversation. And I wanted to add a little bit to what Brother Aunty has said in terms of Ujamaa. A good part of our plan is not only to build group-owned business enterprises in local communities, but to have those group-owned enterprises in a transactional relationship with already existing businesses and institutions in the local community. So it's not a standalone. It's joining hands with productive forces, but we definitely want to introduce and grow and at a point become dominant, this group-owned collective, cooperative business model. When you do that, then the community has standing. It not only has an economic impact, but it also spills over into other aspects of the social life of a community. But the main thing is I just want to thank Auntie for the subject and for the discussion, and to remind people that even in Ulu, we have people who own their own businesses. Some members of Ulu are, in fact, businesses themselves or of the institution. So it's not just a standalone Ulu-owned, group-owned, cooperatively owned business, but it's that in relationship, in productive relationship with other institutions, including business institutions in the local communities. That's all I have to share, and thank you for the discussion.
Thank you, Baba.
Thank you, Baba Hakimu. And that's a critical dimension to this conversation. Thank you for bringing that to us. You're absolutely right. We are in partnership with other businesses as well as the Ulu cooperatives.
Okay, we have another caller. Caller with the last four digits, 3440, please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question. Thank you.
Yeah, greetings, Sister Q and Brother Auntie. This is Brother Shabaka, and I'm calling from the Miami, Florida area. And I, too, like to piggyback on what Baba Hakima mentioned, that I think the discussion is extremely important, powerful, and needs to be continued and every opportunity that at least Ulu has, we should try to face the people with these kind of topics because they're so very relevant. My question is, I wanted Brother Auntie to maybe clarify a little bit on the comment he made about, you know, the private and public. And the reason I'm asking that is because from our own experience, the word public usually implies government management and control. And of late, or recent, I should say, the examples of that is what we learned from the socialist countries that are claimed to be, you know, public ownership of the means of production. And at least the media, I'm talking about the media here, gives us a view of those countries as not necessarily being humane, but at the same time, you know, liquidating the rights of groups, particularly ethnic minorities. So-called ethnic minorities, as they're called, and the liquidation of, I guess, democratic, what we call democratic rights. So I wanted the brother to probably add a little bit more, make a distinction between what he says is Ujamaa, and in the context of how Ulu sees that, and to make it a distinction between that and the examples that we have had and still have of those countries that consider themselves public ownership of the means of production. In this case, I'm talking about Russia, China, former Soviet Union, once Vietnam, old Vietnam, North Korea, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. You ready, Brother Auntie?
Brother Shabaka, he asked a loaded question. He laid it out there. And thank you, Brother Shabaka, because your question is critical to this discussion. And so let me see if I can come at it this way, because you're right. I need to clarify my use of the word public versus private, right? So we know that in the capitalist system, the problem is that the means of production, that is the businesses, the banks, the insurance companies, all the instruments of economic activity are privately owned. So whether we're talking the utility companies, the social media giants, you name it, these are all owned privately, and they operate in a way that funnels tremendous amount of wealth from the masses into a very few hands. We're contrasting private ownership with a mechanism that would allow the public, that is, people who are just in the citizenry, to have access to the means of production. Now, and you're right, because it was Marxists and the socialists that began to draw the distinction between private ownership of the means of production and public ownership of the means of production. That is why I worded our question tonight, why is Ujamaa the only way forward for the planet? Because Ujamaa, as a form of African communalism, allows us to get away from this public control of the means of production being sidetracked into systems that still wind up oppressing people. Because you're right, Brother Shabaka. And it's interesting that Russia and China, while they are quote-unquote socialist in name, in many respects, they are still behaving economically in ways that suppress the rights of the masses of people and deny people the full expression of their democratic rights. My thought, and I believe in Ulu, we are of the opinion that African communalism, because of its very nature, and that's why I stressed at the beginning, family-centered. Mm-hmm. We in Ulu are building a network of economic institutions that are tied together by our relationships to one another. In other words, we are sisters and brothers sharing our labor power, our genius, our gifts, and doing commerce together in a way that is not exploiting each other. And it's this African-centered, family-centered ethos that helps us to get out of that dichotomy of one group oppressing another group, one group taking advantage of another group, the larger group beating up on the smaller group. What we are trying to build in Ulu, based on Ujamaa, is a community that is taking care of itself because we love one another. I mean, that language may sound strange in a context where there's so much fear and hatred being bandied about. But our goal is to bring to the table a form of African communalism that allows us to be family to one another. And the Ulu model, as you well know, Brother Shabaka, this is an economic institution building cooperative that is open to Black Africans or African descended people who are Black, so that people who pool our money, as we pool our money into this institution, we are making a compact with one another that we are sharing our resources to build an economic model that's going to benefit the entire community, not just the talented tenth or a few people at the top while everyone else languishes at the bottom. I realize that I'm only touching on the edges, Brother Shabaka, of what you're saying, because I don't want to get into a long, drawn-out debate about socialism versus capitalism. And I really want to keep the conversation focused on Ujamaa because it, at its heart, as Julius Nyerere pointed out, he said he wasn't trying to find an African term to translate into socialism. He was using the term Ujamaa because at its root, it means familyhood. And so we're talking about familyhood that builds an economy or family-centered economics. So at the heart of Ujamaa is this family relationship that all of us who are participating in Ulu have with each other. When we say sister and brother, we mean that. We're like a large extended family, and we're doing commerce amongst ourselves. We're not trying to take advantage of each other. We're not trying to gouge one another. We're trying to meet our needs and have a surplus that then is available to do the things like African-centered education, a holistic health center that both mind, spirit, and body, and not just body part, that works to make sure that the entire community is taken care of, and again, not just a handful. So we really, Brother Shabaka, are talking about a third way, if you will. We're not talking capitalism. We're not talking socialism. We're talking Ujamaa, which is our way of bringing African communalism into the 21st century. It's a profoundly different economic model. And because the other two paths have already been tried and are not working that well, that's why we say Ujamaa is certainly the best way forward for people of African descent. Now, it's going to help the entire planet, but as African-descended people, this is the most guaranteed way for us to move forward to protect ourselves and at the same time to harness our genius, our resources, and to build a prosperous future for ourselves and for our children. Am I answering your question, Brother Shabaka?
Brother Shabaka's call dropped. I think he came back in, but he's not.
Okay.
His mic is not open anymore. So, but I think you answered the question very well for my understanding. I'll say that much. So, Brother Ongti, we want to take a break here for a minute or two, and we'll come back to have you.
Greetings.
Greetings, Brother Ongti. Habari Gani. What's the news?
Kuji Chagalia. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm so glad you called. Let me tell you about a very important event happening for Ulu members. Did you know that the annual Ulu members meeting and convention is coming up soon?
No, I hadn't heard. Tell me more.
Well, as you know, Us Lifting Us is the premier global economic cooperative community for people of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, we're building successful business models that give us capacity to gain significant control of the economics of our community.
Yes, I know. And I agree wholeheartedly about this approach to nation building. Tell me more about the annual members meeting and convention.
This year's meeting will be virtual again due to COVID-19, but we're planning a live online event for members to interact with each other, get to know each other, and get to know more about the Ulu plan and some important recent initiatives like real estate and cryptocurrency.
Sounds exciting. I want to be there. What do I need to do?
Simply go to usliftingus.com, and that is usliftingus.com, and register there. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor for the convention, you can sign up there as well.
That sounds easy enough to do. I'm on it right now.
And all Ulu members can do that right now. Show your support for Ulu. Register now at
usliftingus.com.
That's
usliftingus.com.
Okay, we're back. And tonight, Brother Ansi is leading the discussion on why is Ujamaa the only way forward. Brother Ansi, you have been making the point that an Ujamaa economy is based on cooperation, common sense, democratic process, and love. We almost never hear love mentioned in the same sentence with economy. So that's awesome right there. Theoretically, that sounds awesome. Can you tell us of some successful examples where this has been applied?
Thank you again,
Sister Q. Some
real
world stuff.
for asking the practical question, how does Ujamaa work? Or where does the rubber meet the road, so to speak? So based on, as we just heard in the announcement, March 11th through March 13th, Ulu is holding its annual meeting and convention, and it's going to be virtual this year. So that means everyone can attend. In other words, you don't have to travel to a particular city to be a part of the convention. Every member whose dues are current, that is, and there's we in Ulu pay a $50 annual dues fee. And that means if your $50 is paid, then you are current and you can participate in the discussions and the voting on matters of importance to the co-op. This year, we will be hearing a presentation about changing our structure to protect ourselves as members from legal suits and the like. In other words, as members of the primary co-op, each member helps to set policy for the co-op. This is a democracy for real. Each member has only one vote regardless of the number of co-op units they own. And as you know, in Ulu, we pool our money so that we can open these cooperative businesses. And the pooling of the money is done through the purchase of a co-op unit that is $1,000. For every 1,000 members who purchase a co-op unit of $1,000, that's $1 million. We can do a lot of constructive work with $1 million. And given the populations of our people in most cities, millions of African descent people in the major cities in this country alone, we're looking at raising considerable sums of money into the millions and billions, right? So,
right.
But regardless, let's just say, Sister Q, you own 10 co-op units and I own 5. When we get to the meeting and there are positions on the floor to be voted on, you have one vote and I have one vote. And every member in the co-op has one vote. So however we vote, that determines the policies that we'll pursue. Now, we also use consensus because we're trying to reach the decision that's best for the entire group. We may have to go back and forth and round and round and round. But the idea is that each member has one vote. Now, contrast that to capitalist corporations, where each member, based on the number of shares that you own in the corporation, that's your number of votes. So let's just say you're a fat cat and you own 1 million shares of AT&T stock, and someone else just came into AT&T and scraped together their dimes and nickels, and they only own 3 or 4 shares of AT&T stock. So when the vote comes, the person with 1 million shares has 1 million votes. The person with 2 or 3 shares only has 2 or 3 votes. So you see how those corporations maintain the control in the hands of the extremely wealthy people. That is not democratic. And the beauty of the cooperative model is one member, one vote. So the conversations that we have around these important issues that affect our lives and affect the future of our children, we know that when we are in these rooms and we're having these conversations, our voice is heard, our voice matters, and our vote. That's the beginning of real democracy. And so we want our members and people who are looking at us lifting us or who are not that familiar with cooperative organizations to understand that at this very basic level, this is how we become active citizens in the communities where we are. This is how we show up in the public space, in the commons, where we begin to be women and men who have taken responsibility for the kind of world we want to build and the kind of world we want to live in. And so at our convention, at our annual members meeting, we hold it every year, the second weekend in March. We invite people who are on the call and who may not have become members of Us Lifting Us to do so because we need all of us in working out the problems that are confronting us. And if I can just use as an example, in addition to that, Sister Q, just consider when I say are able to participate in these important discussions, we are living through a global COVID pandemic, is that right? And it has turned the entire world upside down. And after 2 years of brutal uncertainty, mind-numbing fear, this crisis, people are longing to get back to normal, which they can't do. Right. And my point is not to debate whether the pandemic is a plandemic or is just a means of global crowd control. The critical point is that at the root of this crisis is capitalism making windfall profits while 800,000 people have already lost their lives. This is why we call it moribund capitalism. In other words, it's a dead economic model. It's irrational, and it's forcing people to work at the risk of losing their lives. Why? Because the driving engine of capitalism is maximum profit. The vaccine is being given free of charge to everyone. As a matter of fact, they are even paying bonuses to take the shot. Meanwhile, back at the Treasury, Pfizer and Moderna are being paid billions and billions of public tax dollars. Remember, the research for the vaccine is funded by public tax dollars. So how is it that these private companies get to reap windfall profits when the public paid for the drug to be made in the first place? Keep also in mind that the people in the global south do not have access to the vaccine, and Pfizer won't share the formula, so laboratories in other parts of the world could make generic vaccines at a fraction of the cost. So even in the midst of life-threatening global health crisis, capitalist corporations still put their profits before the lives of real human beings. And I was looking at a piece of clip on the news. You remember, I think it was December 30th, the 1st, January 2nd and 3rd, there was a wildfire in a place called Louisville, Colorado. The winds were hit hurricane force, 100 mile per hour winds, and they were driving a wildfire that burned down like 1,100 homes in overnight. And then before the people could even recover from their homes being burned to the ground in this wildfire, it snowed on top of that and dropped 8 inches of snow on the place. So that's global warming that is happening right now. This conversation that we're having tonight is not academic. Capitalism as a system is off the chain. And the only solution that we as the human family can face is we have to get off of fossil fuels. We have to, A, reduce the carbon dioxide emissions by 50% by 2030, and by 2050 be completely fossil free. If we don't do that, then what happened in Colorado will be happening in many places across the country, and more people will become climate refugees. So the world is in crisis, and it's a crisis caused by the irrational functioning of this capitalist system. The only thing that can counter that is a cooperative economic system based on a different set of values. And that's why we and Us Lifting Us are advocating for Ujamaa as that alternative economic model that can allow sanity to come back into the conversation and people begin to sit down and figure out the solutions that are called for given the crisis we find ourselves in. You know, it doesn't make sense for us to be forced to go to work in the midst of a pandemic when the government could easily put a moratorium on rents and mortgages and pay a stipend to everybody so that they could sit home and not starve to death while a solution was found. But again, because it's interesting, there's a Canadian writer by the name of Naomi Klein. She wrote a book in 2007 called Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism. That's what we are living through, the rise of disaster capitalism. It profits on disaster. And we are distracted. All we're talking about in the news is COVID. Meanwhile, global warming as the real danger, that's not being discussed at all. And we've only got 7 years to get to 50% and another 10 years to get to get completely off of fossil fuel. But it's the fossil fuel industry that controls global capitalism. So this is not an academic problem that we're confronted with. We have to make a change to a different economic model. And the genius, the gift of the ancestors to us is that we already have done this, building advanced civilizations on these ideas of truth and justice and righteousness and order and balance and harmony and reciprocity and unity and self-determination and collective work and responsibility and cooperative, that's in our DNA. We don't have to reinvent this wheel. We already know how to do it. And so as the world is spinning out of control, we are poised to provide leadership and point the way forward, and that the ability to do that rests in our hands right now tonight. If you don't want to join Us Lifting Us, then find a cooperative and join that. But if you see the need for this form of African values to be the guiding light for the planet, then Us Lifting Us is a good bet. And Ujamaa really is the only way forward for the planet. And so, you know, $50 to annual membership. When you are able to purchase a co-op unit of $1,000, as we pool our money, we open cooperative businesses, and we build this African communalist economic model to meet the needs of our people and to pass forward to our children. I'll pause there, Sister Q.
Okay, Brother Unki. I'm looking to see if we have any more comments or questions, and apparently we do not. So I'm going to ask you, as we wind up this evening's discussion, Brother Unki, what is it you would like to make sure that the family takes with them from this evening's discussion?
Thank you, Sister Q. First and foremost, the recognition that the world really is waiting on us. When I say us, I mean African descended people in the United States, in the Western Hemisphere, and African people on the continent. We really do have the answer, and I'm not just saying that because I'm African descended. I'm saying that because of the rich tradition on which we stand. It was African civilization that gave math and science, medicine, dance, religion, spirituality, gave all of that to the world. The mathematics systems that Elon Musk and his crew are using to get to the moon, that math was originated in Africa. So this is not something that is foreign to us. This is something that we just have to remember. You know, uh-huh. It's stored deep in our memory bank. And as we take a deep breath and exhale and recognize and remember who we are, then the work is a matter of us joining hands, having this conversation with family and friends. Hey, there is a way out of this. There is a solution to the breakdown of the systems around us, and we have a moment and the opportunity to build a cooperative world. We have to build it one cooperative business at a time, but imagine if just 1,000 of us come together, pool our money, put $1 million in the pot, and go to work. You know, and as Baba Hekima reminded us not too long ago, $1.3 trillion is flowing through our hands on an annual basis. $1.3 trillion. That's like if someone gave you $1 million right now coming up on 10 o'clock, and then they gave you another million at 11, another million at 12, and they did that around the clock for a whole day, and then a whole week, and then a whole month, and then the whole year, they're putting $1 million in your lap on the hour, every hour, round the clock. It would take 114 years to get to $1.3 trillion. That's how much money is flowing through black hands. We're trying to capture 1% of that, $10 billion, to begin the work of rebuilding society with us, at least in the leadership, if not the forefront. And so this is our destiny. And when we come together at this annual meeting in March, we would like to have hundreds of our people there to say, hey, let's build. Let's redirect this world. We can't expect our enemies to provide shelter, food, and clothing for us and to educate our children. That's madness. We know that. And so this is our moment. It looks weird because it looks like everything's falling apart, but all that is the chains falling off, the prison doors flying open, and now it's time for us to walk out into the sunshine and restore ourselves to greatness and give the world some leadership into the remainder of this century and going forward beyond that.
That's a very good point you made, Brother Ankhi, that we could look at it as a crisis or we could look at it as an opportunity. And what we do at the moment is reliance upon how we perceive things. You know, we're used to being taught that someone else must take care of us, and the people that we've been taught must take care of us have shown that they're not taking care of us. They can't take care of themselves because their system is flawed. And so now we can say, oh, okay, well, let me try. I can't do any worse than they're doing. You know, so
that's
I
right.
have nothing to lose. Well, they said, beware the man with nothing to lose. We ain't got nothing to lose.
And, you know, it's interesting. The Chinese character for the word crisis means dangerous opportunity. So, yeah, there's some risk involved. There's some danger involved. But in the midst of that is an opportunity. And that's what Ulu is holding out, the opportunity of building Ujamaa. And we'd love to do it with everyone on this call and everyone around the world. It's going to be built. There's no question of that. The question that's being asked tonight is, will the people listening be part of that number that builds Ujamaa?
Very good. Thank you, Brother Ankhi, for that. Thank you for the whole conversation, actually. And I want to thank everyone who joined us this evening. You can join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace, Brother Ansi. Peace, everyone.
Peace, Sister Q. Thank you. And peace to the family.
Peace.
First day I met you, we were so young. You were a blessing, there was no guessing. You were the one. Love was so crazy, we had a baby and said our vows. That's when you told me, should anything happen, I can hear you now. You told me if the sun comes up and I'm not home, be strong. You do your best to carry on. Tell the kids about me when they're old enough to understand. Tell them that their daddy was a good man. Remember we chose a star. But as I stand under it, I can't help but wonder if you see it where you are. For whatever reason, we don't see the seasons change again. Go there with peace of mind, we'll meet on the other side. Cause true love don't end. Oh baby, if the sun comes up and you're not home, I'll be strong. I'll do my best to carry on. I'll tell the kids about you when they're old enough to understand. I'll tell them that their daddy was a good man. I do the